Chapter 8. Close your eyes. What are you doing, Fergal?
Nothing.
His mother was calling him from inside the house. What are you doing in the garage?
Nothing, just admiring the lawnmower. That is, getting my shoes.
The impatience in her tone rose a level. We're going to be late, Fergal.
Never mind that. Where was it? Where was his finger?
Are you all ready, Fergal?
Almost.
What does almost mean?
It was obvious what it meant, wasn't it?
Almost meant almost.
Nearly,
practically.
Only that, where was that finger?
He was sure he had left it in there, at the bottom of the freezer chest, under all the burgers and the pizzas, wrapped in its own plastic bag.
Fergal, I won't tell you again, she told him again.
We're going to be late. What are you doing in there?
Nothing.
Well, it's taking you long enough.
Just a minute.
He took out all the pizzas and dumped them on the garage floor.
Fergal!
He felt harassed and put upon. Why did she have to take him anyway? It turned out that Charlotte only lived a mile or so away. Why couldn't he have walked around on his own?
Fergal! Her voice came from the kitchen louder still.
Where was his finger?
Fergal!
She was coming. The voice was getting nearer. He found it. It rolled under one of the other wire baskets in the freezer. Not the one he had left it under. It must have shifted when someone had slammed the freezer lid. He grabbed it and stuffed it into his pocket just before she walked in.
Fergal, whatever are you doing in the freezer?
Who, me?
There's no one else in here. And why have you got all the pizzas out?
Fergal looked at the pizzas stacked up on the garage floor and wondered what to say.
I thought I'd take one with me, he said.
His mother stared at him.
What?
I thought I'd take a pizza with me round to Charlotte's.
A pizza? A frozen pizza?
Yes.
Why?
As a sort of present, you know, in case we got hungry, or in case they asked me to stay for tea and they didn't have enough food to go around.
Fergal, I hardly think that when you go to visit people that what you need to turn up with frozen pizza.
Well, should I take them some oven chips instead? He asked innocently.
No, certainly not, his mother snapped.
It was only a thought, he said.
Maybe so, but put them all back in the freezer and let us go. Now, come on.
I could walk around on my own, he offered.
Nope, it's all right. I can give you a lift.
Fergal suspected the truth was that his mother wanted to see Charlotte's mother again and discuss in greater detail the problems of having clever offspring who collected tins. So they got in the car and drove off. Fergal worried about the finger as they went. It would be starting to thaw now, to defrost. Defrosted finger. It sounded very odd. His pocket would start to get damp and the finger would become softer, more malleable. It might even bend at its joints as he walked.
Ugh.
In Fergal's other pocket was the little gold stud. In the small rucksack beside him were his outdoor coat, his mobile phone, his tins book, and the actual tin in which he had discovered the finger. It was as well to have all the necessary information with him. It was a pity, he felt in retrospect, that he had thrown away the tin that had contained the gold earring, his first real find. He wondered about this girl, Charlotte. He didn't normally make friends with girls, or anyone really, but the exceptional circumstances demanded it. The normal hostility between boys and girls of their age would have to be suspended if they were to get to the bottom of it all. The car pulled up outside Charlotte's house. It looked very much like her own, in a similar street of semi-detached houses with leafy gardens. They went to the door and, as he had suspected would happen, Charlotte's mother invited his own mother in for coffee and a chat while he was taken upstairs to Charlotte's room. Charlotte's room was a bit like her hair. No matter how she tried to tidy it and keep it under control, 10 minutes later it was wild again. Charlotte Pettigrew's collection of tins occupied one whole bookcase in her room. Wasn't exactly like Fergal's, for she collected tins with labels as well as tins without. Some of them looked ancient, maybe 50 or 100 years old, Fergal reckoned, going by their faded, old-fashioned designs. Charlotte didn't stand on ceremony or bother with any polite small talk or meaningless chit-chat.
Well, she said, did you bring your stuff?
Fergal nodded.
And those are your tins, he said.
Obviously, Charlotte said.
They've got labels.
Some of them. I get them in junk shops and charity shops and places like that, and people give them to me for presents. They're quite expensive, some of them. See that one there?
She pointed to a tin with an old-fashioned red and white label reading corned beef.
What is it?
Cost £50.
Never.
Did so.
You paid £50 for a tin?
Not me, my uncle. It was a birthday present. Some tins are worth hundreds, thousands even. If you get a tin that says, say, have been on a polar expedition and had maybe once belonged to Scott of the Antarctic or Marco Polo or someone like that, you could name your own price. Fergal looked at her dubiously. I didn't think they had tins of corned beef when Marco Polo was arrived. No, they probably didn't, Charlotte agreed. But that was just an example. So where's your stuff then? Fergal felt in his pocket, his grip tightened around the now slightly soggy finger in the plastic bag. Where's your stuff first? He said. In the drawer, Charlotte said. And where's the tin from the bargain basket? Here, Charlotte said. And there it was, sitting on the windowsill, still unopened just as she had promised, and beside it was a tin opener. Well, what shall we do? Compare stuff first or open the tin? Fergal hesitated, then said, compare stuff. Gruesome stuff first or not gruesome? Not so gruesome, then gruesome. Okay, you going first? All right, here. This is the first thing I found. Fergal took the small gold earring from his pocket and placed it on Charlotte's dressing table. It's a sleeper. That's right. Interesting. What did you find? This. Charlotte reached into her desk drawer and took something out and placed it next to the gold stud. It's a ring. That's right. Can I touch it? Go ahead. Pick it up if you like. There's initials on it. It's a signet ring. What does that mean? Don't you know? I'm not well up on rings. A signet ring is a ring which has the initials of the owner etched into it. What for? In case he forgets his name? How do you know it's a he? Anyone then? I don't know. It's just for decoration. It's hardly going to be because you keep forgetting your name, is it? I don't know. What are the letters? JDS. Interesting. That's what I thought. Looks like gold too. Like my ear stud. It is gold, my mum said. You showed it to them? Well, I must have done, or how could she have said? You're pretty stroppy for a girl, aren't you? Fergal said. Any reason why girls shouldn't be stroppy? Not that I am stroppy, but if I was, is there any reason why I shouldn't be? Fergal thought about it. No, he said. None at all. Good. Okay. Share some of your gruesome stuff then, Charlotte said. Fergal reached into his pocket and took out the small damp package. Close your eyes. Don't be stupid. If you close your eyes, then when you open them, you can see it all at once. Oh, all right then. I'll put it on the desk. Fergal didn't want to put the thorium finger down on the bed. It might leave a mark on the duvet. Charlotte closed her eyes. No peeking. Get on with it. He unwrapped and extracted the finger, put the plastic bag down on the desk and set the finger on top of it. He no longer felt so squeamish in dealing with the dead, squishy body parts. At this rate, he could even end up as an undertaker, or professional embalmer, or possibly a brain surgeon. All right, you can open them now, she did. Oh, wicked! Oh, gruesome! That is bad! Charlotte exclaimed so loudly that her mother must have heard her, and she called up the stairs. What's going on up there? Are you two all right? It's all right, Mum, we're just having a game of cards. Well, keep the volume down. The kitchen door closed shut again. Charlotte stared at the finger. Even as a severed digit, it had seen better days. It had a rather gangrenous aspect to it now, and it emitted a faint but distinctly unpleasant odour. It was slowly going off. Yet, far from repelled by it, she seemed fascinated, enthralled. Wow, cool, she said. When you said you had some gruesome stuff, I never thought you meant anything like this. This is gruesome. This is gruesome and a half. Wow. Without permission, she picked up the finger and held it to the light. She said. What? Nothing. I could be wrong. Wrong about what? Look here. Where? There, near the bottom, where it got cut off. What about it? There's a mark all the way round it. I know, I saw that. What is it? Well, it could have been caused by whatever cut the finger off. Or it could be a mark left by something else. Like a ring? She turned the finger round in her hands. She looked at the dead but warming digit from all angles, and then laid it back down on the plastic bag. All right, Fergal said. So where's your gruesome stuff? Supposing you actually have some gruesome stuff. Oh, I've got gruesome stuff, don't you worry, Charlotte said. I've got gruesome as good as you, possibly even better. I doubt it. Well, there's only one way to find out. That's right, so let's see it then. Okay, you asked for it. You better not be faint or pass out. I'm a boy. She gave him a cool, appraising look as if to say, so what? You think that makes a difference? So where is it? Fergal asked. Right here. Charlotte took a small tin from a drawer, an old extra strong mint tin with a lift-up lid. It had a slight covering of what could have been perspiration. I've been keeping it in the freezer too, she said. It might not have totally thawed out yet. All the same to me. There was a small potted cactus on a desk, sitting on a saucer. Charlotte took the saucer from under the pot and placed it in the readiness to receive the contents of the tin. Close your eyes then, like I did. Fergal closed his eyes. He heard the sound of the tin being opened. He heard the lid being placed on the desk. Then he heard the slow slithering sound of something as something slid from the tin into Charlotte's hand and was then placed, he summarised, upon the saucer. Okay, you can open them now. Fergal's eyes opened wide and instantly got wider. Oh, wow. See, I told you. That is gruesome, isn't it? It looks so real. It is real, Charlotte snapped. Oh, grisly, gross. Totally, double gross, she agreed with a certain pride in her voice. That's as good as my finger, or as bad as my finger. It's worse than your finger. I wouldn't say that. I would. Well, aren't you going to pick it up then? Is it all right to pick it up? Yes, if you're not afraid to. I'm not afraid. So pick it up. All right, I will. He reached out and touched it. It was still cold. Cold and bristle, gradually turning clammy and moist. He picked it up by the lobe and placed it flat upon the palm of his hand. It was an ear, a human ear, with a tiny hole in it for an earring. It's an ear, he said, of someone's head. Fergal looked from the ear to Charlotte, to the finger, slowly thawing out on top of the small plastic bag. You don't think, he began. But then his mouth seemed suddenly dry. You don't think, he began again, that perhaps somebody has been murdered? Charlotte looked at him from behind her stack of sticking out everywhere hair. I think it's a possibility, she said, that we can't altogether rule out.